Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, Mike Brennan, anyway. Matt is caught in traffic. He will be joining us shortly. Heck, might even be joining us during this segment, but I think I can handle this one on my own. And we have on the line Lisa Valley Smith. Oh, gosh, we go so far back, even back to my Free Press days way back 20 years ago. But Lisa is the, what is your title now? Just, what do you call yourself? The CEO, the chairman, what do you, at Air Force Public Relations, what do you call yourself?
I call myself CEO of Airfoil Group.
Group. Okay, got it. And Lisa, gosh, represents a lot of tech companies out there. And we're in December now, and so I kind of wanted to do, well, let's take a look at what happened with tech in 2016 and where are we going next year. So I'm going to discuss that with Lisa from her perspective. So what's your thinking? What has really impressed you this year with what's going on in the Michigan tech space that you've really noticed?
Well, certainly an increase in venture capital investment. And I think that is a fundamental component of any strong technology industry. I'm very, optimistic to see the Michigan Venture Capital Association's most recent research report that shows that the number of VC companies in the Great Lakes region, as well as the number of companies receiving investment in the Great Lakes region, has grown significantly. And of course, that is a leading indicator in any region of what is yet to come. I think also, in particular, a couple of companies stand out for me as holding tremendous promise for the future. And one of them would be Duo Security in Ann Arbor, two-factor authentication security. And they have received a number of funds, most recently a significant investment and incentive from the state of Michigan to scale their business. But I see security as well as cybersecurity being a core area of technology potential in our region. And I think to see super promising companies such as Duo Security in a very hot space being a really good emblem for our region in terms of reinforcing the perception of Detroit and Michigan and the Great Lakes region as being a place that spawns really breakthrough technology kinds of companies. I think the other thing that is also very reassuring and very promising is the automotive manufacturing industry's response to the transformation of the car. And that has to do with, of course, big picture, big sky thinking, autonomous driving, self-driving. But the movement toward software, sensors, and services by many of the Detroit 3 as well as the Tier 1 suppliers, this is really going to move our region for many years to come. And I think it's great to see that the automotive manufacturing industry in the region is responding to a big mega trend in a very intentional way. So those are a couple great highlights. I think that, I'm coming off of the Business Leaders for Michigan CEO Summit from, I think it was just several weeks ago now. But they showcase their annual, what they call their kind of top 10 survey. And this has to do with how Michigan is performing against their metrics to become a top 10 state. And the information was all extremely positive. Our ranking has risen from 48 to 22nd in employment. We've been improving or holding steady in more than half of the 50-plus indicators used to measure the cost of locating here to this region and the value provided. However, the biggest issue, which this survey reinforced, and what I see my own self as a business owner over 16 years being in the technology industry and having the kind of unique point of view of being headquartered and founded in Southeast Michigan, but having had office operations in Silicon Valley for 11 years now and having an office in New York, Michigan's biggest problem is that we continue to lose population. And not only just general population, but young people in general. Now the so-called brain drain has modified. It's not as fast or as hard as it used to be, but it is still a significant threat to our state's ability to continue to move with the rest of the economy and to be able to fulfill technology jobs into the future. So things that I would give Michigan overall a B+ in terms of ensuring a future beyond just, you know, what has been a good car economy post-2008, but probably, you know, a CC- on really solving for the population loss problem.
Well, I'm not sure. That's a toughie, because I did the same thing. When I graduated from Michigan, I beat feet out of here as fast as I could, and then came back about 25 years later, which seems to be somewhat of a trend when folks realize on the each coast that they can't afford to buy a house. My old buddy Rachel Conrad, who I worked with at the Free Press, she bought a house in Silicon Valley, cost her $1.3 million for a three-bedroom ranch. So,
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nuts. So that kind of when they start to have the family issues, and then all of a sudden the old Michigan looks good to them again. But Matt has joined us. He was caught in traffic. He's here. So you want to throw something in here, Matt?
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
It's Lisa.
I need my microphone on.
Oh, it is on.
It is on? Oh, I can't hear myself.
Oh, well, then must be your headset's down.
All right, that's fine.
I can hear you, Matt.
I can hear you just fine.
Well, I mean, one of the things we struggled with for a long time is the whole entrepreneurial infrastructure for startups and for tech businesses, not just financing sources, but accountants and lawyers and all of those kinds of people who are, you know, sort of tied in with, you know, the whole startup and tech company culture and know how to navigate it and know how to serve it. How do you think we're doing there?
Well, I don't have specifics as far as that is concerned. When I look at some of the earlier stage venture funded and also increasingly private equity funded startups, which I would say, by the way, is a definite trend in technology startups, and because that has to do with fewer and fewer realistic and feasible IPOs, we're seeing a lot more private equity investments in companies. But when I look at them, while those infrastructure kinds of things are important, and they're very, very important for early stage companies, and I think, you know, Gilbert and his ventures arm is doing a great job of that. I think, you know, the MEDC has done a great job of that. Spark. I don't think the problem lies in that area. You know, I would go back to that there is a talent shortage, and engineers in particular. This is what I'm hearing from my clients in the region. And, you know, back to Mike's point, you know, that boomerang phenomenon. Anecdotally, I think that is, you know, we all hear of those great stories about people leaving and coming back, but the trends data that I have seen is that the boomerang phenomenon has slowed down, and that, you know, and it's not just people are leaving for the coasts anymore. You know, there's other very, very excellent areas to relocate to, even in the Midwest, including Minneapolis, Columbus, you know, even Indianapolis. And so I think it's, you know, I think the state and the region are doing a very good job in terms of creating an infrastructure for new kinds of businesses here. And I said, as I said previously, I think the businesses that are here are doing a wonderful job of transforming. But it's just, you know, all of that isn't going to make a hill of beans worth of difference if we can't keep our population, because population is so important for our tax base and the services that we can invest back in the population.
So let me put we got 2 minutes. Let me put the question to you. What would you do? What should we do differently?
Well, I would take a cue from the MEDC and our esteemed president-elect Donald Trump and look into incentives. When you look at the profile of a young professional, a graduate from our incredible universities, which are putting out amazing talent, we have to compete. And, you know, we can compete on quality of life and cost of living and those kinds of things. And I don't know specifically what it is, but millennials are very price driven. They are very research intensive as they look to opportunities. They're very career driven. And I think we need to come up with some true incentives, you know, cash, salary, whatever, and otherwise, and look to put some concrete programs in place intentionally that can get people to stay here.
We're going to have to leave it at that, Lisa. We're out of time in this segment. Lisa Valley-Smith, the CEO of Airfoil Public Relations. And we'll be back on the next segment with some cool stuff with AT&T.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Mike.
No problem.
Always a pleasure.
Yep, thanks, Lisa. This is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, proudly part of the PodcastDetroit.com network. Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we are back with another fun-filled segment of the M Squared TechCast. Right now we're talking to AT&T.
Well, not literally to AT&T, but I suppose we are talking to
corporations. Chris. Are people, my friend.
Well, that's true, yes.
Okay.
We're waiting to see what the Supreme Court's going to do with that one.
Yeah.
But we have Chris Dierks.
You got it.
Right? Okay.
You got it.
retail sales manager for AT&T. Now, you're at some store. What are the stores? You run the store.
Taylor. Well, Don River area.
That's right. He has a truck, so we knew he was from Taylor, right? So we was kidding him earlier when he pulled up. Bad joke. Moving right along. So
probably lives on Gross Eel or someplace really nice like that.
Right. So AT&T last week came out with some new streaming video services. Of course, we're real big on video. I'm going into video now. My deal with Automation Alley is getting announced tomorrow where we're going to do all the video with them. So video is good. We like video, but tell us about it.
Well, DirecTV Now is what we call it. And DirecTV Now is a premium over-the-air streaming service. It's the first real live TV experience that delivers premium content. So essentially, it's cutting the cord and being able to stream true live television on your mobile device or on your smart TV or using a compatible device to do that.
And you get what? What kind of everything that DirecTV has? Or
not everything, but it's the packages are catered to all different lifestyles, and they have started around 60 channels and go all the way up to 120 channels. And they're very premium content. So a lot of the channels that maybe you just click through on a normal cable service, you know, music channels, things like that, you know, we have AMC, we have ESPN, we have Disney, HBO.
If you got Fox Sports, I'm interested, because it seems like the only way you can get that is you got to buy the gazillion channels you never watch to get Fox Sports, right?
We do. We have Fox Sports Detroit.
Separately, you can get that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is
and this is strictly over a data connection, you know, no cable required, no dish required, or is it over a dish?
No dish, no cable required, strictly over the internet, either mobile network or your home IP. Okay.
But there's got to be some fine print here. I'm looking at Teresa, who's the VP of Communications, right? Shall I promote you? Okay, she likes that. What's the fine print? Now, if I want to sign up for this service, what do I get? What does it cost me?
Well, that's the best part probably about this is just your general reaction now where you think that, oh, this is a big lifetime-altering decision to change. It's really not. I mean, if you never met me and you went to the website, you could sign up and it would take you 5 minutes. It's you pick a package, you pick the content that's best for you, and then you prepay on a credit card. And the taxes and fees are included. So it starts at $35 a month.
No contract, right?
No contract, no credit check.
We don't like contracts.
No content, no credit check.
No credit check, perfect.
Okay.
I'm self-employed.
I'll go out and run up all my credit cards just to take advantage of that. But $35 a month will get you the essentially an expanded basic type cable package? Or
well, that's what I like to really touch on, because for $35 right now anyway, you can get what we call our Go Big package, which actually has more than 60 channels. But even the very minimal package, the 60 channels that are included are not just your...
Not Home and Garden channel
stuff that
there's
people...
There's some really crazy ones.
There are.
I've gone through them just to see what I got in my 300-channel package, you know?
And there's still nothing on.
And
anyway.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly right. And you get things like ESPN, or if you want to watch The Walking Dead on AMC, you can, that comes with even the introductory package. And if you say, oh, I really like premium content, I'm a big HBO, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, because I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, it's only $5 to add HBO. And it's just $5, and you just add it on like you would anything else on any online service.
So
I can still get my Westworld. Okay. That's
yes, you
cool.
can.
Yeah, all right.
I like the Roman world better, though, than Westworld. But they don't have that in this. I didn't see the season finale. Don't tell me about it. No spoilers, okay. Please. So I'm going to watch that tonight.
It's really good. Yeah, you're going to love it. But so how is this different from other streaming services that you get from devices, like, say, a Roku or Apple TV or Chrome or something like that?
Well, it's interesting because that's how we deliver the content. One of the ways we deliver the content right now is through an Apple TV, the latest generation, or an Amazon Fire Stick.
Or Roku?
Roku will be online the first part of next year. Roku's not there yet. Uh-huh. But right now we have Vizio Smart TVs. We have Fire Stick, Chromecast,
that's what
Apple
I have.
TV.
I have a Vizio Smart TV.
Yeah. It's essentially you just download the app from the App Store on an Apple TV.
I can download it to my TV as well, then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's compatible TVs, but yeah.
I was thinking just smartphone here, you know? Duh. No. You know?
So actually, like right now, to get people to understand really, and that's the hardest challenge so far that we experience on a consumer level, is that people don't fundamentally understand what streaming services are in a large portion, that people have been lifelong cable users and they don't understand the difference.
Cut the cable, right?
Right. And so this is, you buy an Apple TV, or I'm sorry, if you prepay 3 months worth of service right now, so 3 months worth of DirecTV Now service, we give you an Apple TV. Give it to you.
Oh, the stick thing they plug in, right?
The box, the little box.
Oh, the whole, that's right, that's the box.
Yeah.
The whole Apple TV, the $150, 32 gigabyte Apple TV latest generation.
So spend $100 and you get a $150 freebie.
Yeah. And if you buy 1 month worth of service right now, just 1 month, we give you a Fire Stick.
Oh, okay. That's what I was thinking of. Everybody's got a different wrinkle on how they deliver it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, we have Chromecast right now. That will work as well. And more devices will come online as it progresses. So. Huh.
Yeah, I've got an early generation Chrome stick on the back of my TV, and that's pretty much you're just streaming stuff through your phone. That's how that one works.
Oh, so, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. I've never used it. So, hey, now, is there data max? I mean, at some point, do you have a cap where you can't stream anymore? Or?
So that's another great part, the way that we integrated it with AT&T as a telecommunications company. If you're an AT&T cellular customer and you stream any kind of show you want to stream for hours on end, it does not use your data when you do that if you are an AT&T customer.
Huh.
And if you're not an AT&T customer, you can set the streaming quality so that it affects your bandwidth or how much data you're actually using. You can choose good or better based on how much data you're allotted. As far as home internet is concerned, because some IP providers provide a cap on home internet service, I can't speak to what they offer, but it would use against your bucket. But in retrospect, an hour long of TV is about 900 megabytes, and most of the caps are much, 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 much higher than that.
God, they'd have to be, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, some of the cable providers do start throttling, or some of the internet providers do start throttling if you hit a certain level.
Hmm.
And frequently what that is not well known. So,
yeah, I mean, I can't speak to the other ones. I know that if a standalone UVerse customer, UVerse internet customer is 1 terabyte,
mm-hmm.
And 1 terabyte, you know, you'd have to watch 1,000 hours of TV just to do that.
Probably do that in a month, right, Matt?
Oh, sure. So, yeah. Well, I do have 11 days off at Christmas time. We'll
perfect.
See how that works.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So if people want more information about this service, where do they go?
There's a lot of different places you can go. That's part of the reason why I'm so passionate about this, and I feel like it will be as successful as it already has been, is we have the distribution to answer people's questions. You can visit any AT&T store. You can call in. You can visit any AT&T retailer, any of the Cricket stores. We have a mass distribution, and so you can find all the information online. You can find it in a store. I mean, there's a lot of different places, but as I said earlier, if I just handed you my phone right now and you knew nothing about this, you could figure it out with minimal effort.
Doesn't know me very well, does he?
I promise.
Okay. Well, we'll have to do that experiment. I know Teresa has offered, she's quietly sitting there, not in front of a microphone, though. Teresa Mask, the AT&T spokeswoman here for what, Michigan? Okay. Oh, she's giving me sign language right now. So,
okay.
Well, good. This has been that got launched what, November 30th?
Yeah, just last week.
Wow.
Okay.
And that's way too early to know. But I mean, how well is it being received so far?
I mean, I can tell you just from my area alone, it has been very well received. And I mean, I can truthfully say that I have not had anyone come back and say this is not at all what I thought it was going to be. And it's because as soon as you sign up for the service in a store or on your own, there is no lag time. There's no delay. You can start watching right then and there.
Uh-huh.
So you sign in and you are off and running. The whole process probably takes, you know, 5-10 minutes to get it done. And you start watching right away.
So you can start, you get your laptop out or whatever, or your tablet, and you can watch it pretty much anywhere.
You can. And then not only that, the big comments, you know, when comparing it to regular DirecTV,
mm-hmm.
why would you want this? I mean, why would you want this over regular DirecTV and vice versa?
Good question.
It is. DirecTV is our premium television service. Mm-hmm. It's going to offer you the DVR. It's going to offer you NFL Sunday Ticket, all of the channel lineup that you could possibly want, and walk out and watch. There's the whole laundry list of things. But DirecTV Now is very catered to someone who watches things on the go and that has the specific content that they're looking for. And yes, there is no DVR, but there is a 72-hour playback. So if you miss a show, it's not like you're out of luck. You can rewind up to 72 hours. And in addition, we have on-demand content as well, a lot of on-demand content. And so with this DirecTV Now launch, we also announced Full Screen, partnership with Full Screen. And that is a service that offers you services comparable to like Netflix. It has movies, it has on-demand content. And if you're an AT&T mobility customer, you get a year of that for free. So there's all different types of outlets that you can choose for entertainment.
Okay, and so you're down at the Taylor store. You've got this vast audience out there, I hope. And so how do folks, if they want to meet the person behind the voice, so they come down to your store, Taylor?
They can come down to my store. They can email me. They can call me.
You got to tell them how to do that, though.
So my email address is... Christopher.Dierks@AT&T.com. So my last name is spelled Dierkes. And my mobile number is 734-502-7818.
And where exactly is the store located?
23350 Eureka Road. Okay. So it's right on Eureka and Party.
Right near the mall? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Gotcha.
Literally right next to it.
Okay.
I'm not that familiar with Taylor, but it sounds like you are.
So. That's Southland Mall. My wife used to work there.
Got it.
You should come down and check it out.
Yeah.
All right, any parting thoughts here? Gosh, I didn't even have a beer. I should have had a beer, I think, right?
Be a bit more loquacious.
The only
drawbacks I saw in the service and in looking at it is that you're without CBS. So if you're into CBS shows, that's a gap in the coverage at this point. But
well, we are always working with our content providers, and we have great partnerships with them. And CBS is reluctant at the moment, but we have good hopes that they'll get on board.
Well, and you can always get that over the air around here anyway.
Instead
of bunny ears, we'll get you CBS. So.
Yeah, it's back in the old days. Yeah. Remember those days?
Yes.
You have to adjust those ears all the time?
Yeah, hang on to the antenna, can't let go.
Yeah. Did that? Yeah. How many kids can actually dial a rotary phone? I mean, they look at it.
My daughter was totally flummoxed the first time tried. She's just sticking her finger in the holes and saying there's no button. Right.
Yeah. We've seen it all, man. We elder statesmen of technology.
Indeed. But, all the way back to the analog era.
I'm looking at Jessica. How are we doing? We got a wrap. I'm getting the sign here. So you've been listening to Chris Dierks. He's the retail sales manager down at the Taylor store. For AT&T, telling you about all these new streaming video services you can get right now.
And
from
it's branded as DirecTV Now.
DirecTV Now.
That's right.
All right, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to another segment of the M Squared TechCast. We'll be right back with Podcast Detroit co-founder David Phillips.
Himself.
The mothership of the M Squared
TechCast. The man
TechCast.
We call him here.
All right. Hey, it's Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're injuring ourselves with the studio equipment here on the M Squared TechCast. Okay.
Yes, so we're to
sacrifice your body for the play.
There you go.
Yes, indeed. And so we are highly honored.
Slapstick humor, yeah. Visual humor is really good on the radio, too, let me tell you.
So we are highly honored today to have the founding father, or one of the founding fathers of Podcast Detroit, joining us, Dave Phillips, along with Crazy Bob, who I was at a Christmas party with, and Bob Walton Spiel.
Yeah.
But anyway, lots of really good news on the Podcast Detroit front. Let's start off with, let's just talk a little bit. They're listening to Podcast Detroit, but they may not realize you've got 70-some shows.
Yeah.
Right?
Is it over 70 now? Wow.
It got weird real quick. So, I mean, for those who don't know the background, you know, we started our show back in June of 2013. We grew up a little bit and took off. Our buddy Neil, who's the CTO for Trinet, had built himself a little barcade down the street. Activate Gaming, and he had some extra suites upstairs. And
I love that place, too. It was quaint.
And he said, you know, you guys really need to get out of the Russell. And we really couldn't argue with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great place, had a lot of grit, a lot of charm.
That's where they shot that Superman movie, too.
The kids just watched Batman versus Superman, and they were like, hey, that's where the – yes, it was. you know, the entire floor smelling like a Cheech and Chong set, you know, had its drawbacks.
They had a
On the other hand, it might help the guests open up a little bit.
That's what the booze is for.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's right. We're good. We're good with drinking. We're not necessarily good with fail a drug test. We're not. Yeah. So we moved there into the studio up above Activate in May of 2015, and it was going to be our own little private man cave, and that lasted all of like 3 or 4 weeks before we started getting the knock on the door when people started saying, "Hey, you know, you guys have this great studio. You're using it for only 2 hours a week. Stop being jerks. Open up the doors. We want to do a podcast."
I think I was one of those pounding on the door.
You were.
Right?
Yeah. And so July of 2015, we launched Podcast Detroit, the network. And then lo and behold, by January of 2016, we were full and running out of time slots to give
people. And you just had the one studio.
Yep. So we went hunting, still with Neil. I mean, Neil's still very much involved with us, and found this place, this building here in Royal Oak, that had 4 perfect studio-sized rooms. We opened up with 3 of them, and there are about 3 or 4 nights a week where we have all 3 of them active simultaneously now. It's because, we've got, you know, I think we're at like 65, 66 shows that broadcast out of here every week. And then the most recent news is we just opened up, literally just opened up our studio downtown in the Penobscot building.
And going to do what?
So we've had quite a few businesses that have reached out to us and said, hey, we really want to use you guys. Because, from IT and the D, we know a lot of companies here in the area, obviously. They didn't want to send their folks out to Royal Oak, you know, in the middle of the day for a couple hours, which, you know, totally understandable. So we said, all right. And we've always wanted, we're Podcast Detroit. We've always wanted to be, you know, downtown. It was just a matter of red carpet versus red tape when we moved here. So it just worked out really, really well. Our buddy Scott with Savvy Digital is in a suite with Penn Media Group there. And they
way up high somewhere, like 30.
20th floor, yeah.
20th floor. I know it was way up high.
Got a great view. We're actually trying to talk Neil into taking over the 41st and 42nd floors because there are balconies.
Oh, yeah. That's like close to the top.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
awesome. Good parties up there.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see how that conversation goes. We're trying to figure out exactly how much blackmail on them we have. So we planted the flag down there, and that's going to be mostly for our business shows that want to come in and have more of a kind of calling it a white glove approach. You know, with a lot of the shows that run here, it's, you know, kind of very hands off from our perspective. You know, we take care of, you know, light editing and that kind of stuff, but we're getting more and more. On the business side, they want a little bit more production. They want a little bit more handholding. They want a little bit more, you know, that concierge level service, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. And so that's primarily what that's going to be down there.
The only issue down there would be parking.
That's the downside. I mean, it is the Penobscot. So, I mean, you've got the valet that's open only on weekdays and only until 6 p.m. You've got the garage that's down the street, which, you know, typical Detroit parking garages, you know, can get pretty pricey. There are a couple couple of small lots, which, of course, with parking lots in Detroit, you have to deal with fluctuation depending on what's happening downtown. I just paid $5 here yesterday. Well, but there's a Wings game tonight, so it's 30.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Exactly. Supply and demand. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it's, you know, that's – we think it's primarily for, you know, shows that want to run, A, businesses, and B, during the day, so it really shouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then we actually just – because, well, sleep is highly overrated just started having conversations with another company that operates in Southwest, and we may be opening up a studio there.
Southwest
Detroit.
Oh, okay.
So we may.
I thought we were like Arizona or something.
No, we're not. Yeah, we're not quite at that
That's
point
for
yet.
The winter shows.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, no, that'll be Maui.
I was thinking Vegas maybe, but I don't know.
No. But yeah, so I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think 2017 is definitely going to be an interesting year overall. We've actually started having our first conversations with companies that are reaching out and wanting to be network sponsors and not just show sponsors, and their names that you would hear on terrestrial radio networks quite frequently. You know, a lot of commercials that run, they've started to figure out that there is a huge difference between engagement on a podcast level versus, you know, terrestrial radio versus, you know, TV or anything like that. And so it's you know, the story's starting to get out there and people are starting to click a little bit with what podcasts have to offer. And so, I mean, it could be a very good year because, I mean, in a perfect world, that's what we want. I mean, we want to have network sponsors to basically take care of the costs associated with running things and not have to, you know, worry about having to have, you know, shows pay for studio time and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the end game.
All right, so you're doing some fairly phenomenal numbers with IT and the D, right? That's still true?
It's pretty nuts. We're still averaging about 300 to 350,000 listeners a week on SoundCloud, and
how does
then
that break down versus live versus the
oh, it's demand? All syndication. So I mean, and that's one of the things we try to stress with all of our shows is that it's really, and this is one of those key differences between podcast, TV, and radio. It's all about syndication. It's all about the after the fact. You know, our live numbers, if we have like a really big guest on or something like that, like when we had Ashley Gold in, that was the first time we ever came close to stressing the live multicast servers. We had about 9,000 live listeners. But I mean, on average, we're hovering between 800 and 1,500, depending on who we have in and what's going on. But it's all about the syndication because, I mean, we live in a DVR world. And so it's, you know, I want to listen to what I want, how I want, when I want. You know, you listen to, you know, terrestrial radio stations now, and they're all pushing people to the podcast version of their shows for that very reason. You know, don't tell me I have to wake up at 6 a.m. to listen to your morning show. I like those guys, but I work second shift. That ain't going to happen. But you put a podcast out there and I can listen to them when I'm driving into work. Totally cool. And I'll do that.
Another show that Bob's mentioned to me over the weekend was the one from the cybersecurity conference. Did really, really well.
Yeah, it really did. We made some good friends at Secure World actually a couple years ago, and got some great stories from some people that are out doing some really, really fun stuff with, you know, social engineering and hacking and penetration testing and all that stuff. And they pay attention. And so when they tend to get engaged with our shows and when they start retweeting stuff out, those numbers jump high. And that's what happened with those shows, which was good. I mean, that's, you know, that we try to, you know, whether it's the show or the network as a whole, I mean, we want to figure out how to better engage, you know, with audiences on different platforms. You know, it's like we've always joked, you know, Twitter is essentially the Game of Thrones of the internet. There's 140 characters. We have no idea what the hell's going on. You know, Facebook drives us nuts because, you know, we post a link that, hey, here's free training, free jobs, whatever, crickets. We post a stupid Star Wars meme and it gets 50,000 shares, 100,000 views, and it's crazy. But we're trying to figure it out. You know, and Instagram apparently isn't just for food pictures anymore. Who knew?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then people keep trying to talk us into doing Snapchat, and I won't get into what I thought that was for, but we didn't think that was for businesses, but surprise it is.
Hey.
So yeah, I mean,
you can chat about whatever you like, I guess.
Yes, but not on a family show, right?
But yeah, so I mean, it is. I mean, it's, you know, it's been an interesting year. You know, we like I said, you know, so we launched the network in July of 2015, and then here we are, you know, November or December now of 2016.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting. You know, the question I most commonly get asked is, well, what's next? And
what's next?
Well, no, but and I always answer, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, I never saw our show taking off. I never saw us needing our own studio. I never saw us launching a network. I never saw us filling that studio.
I think video. We got to go video.
Actually, that is probably what, you know, what's next. I mean, we've got, in fact, I've got the quotes to get 3 cam systems in all the studios, because it is more and more where people are looking to go.
Then people can see what Jessica looks like. They only hear that sexy voice, but they don't know who the woman is.
So
right?
Laughably, I was trying to find I was trying to Google an image that I knew I had put out on Podcast Detroit at one point. And so I just went to Google image search and typed in Podcast Detroit. And what made me laugh is that the recommended search term that came up underneath it, it was like, you know, Podcast Detroit Studios and then Podcast Detroit Jessica. I was like, so somebody's out there looking for you.
Yeah, they're looking for you.
Being stalked.
We'll have the Jessica cam that will be on her all the time.
So, I mean, it's been an interesting year, and I'm looking forward to, you know, what 2017 is going to bring.
Okay, the downtown studio, are you going to have staff there or just bringing people part-time if people want more production help?
As we need it, yes. Yeah. I mean, the good news is there's a sound engineer that we've met that already does some stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
From an actual like recording studio perspective. So he knows the stuff pretty well, and he's planning on parking there for the most part. So it's easy enough for him to, I mean, I sat down and showed him, like, you know, how to run shows and how our stuff works and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's, you know, and from our perspective, I mean, it's literally configured exactly the same as all of our studios are.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter what studio you're in here. The laptop is the same. The board is the same. The software is the same. Everything, you know, so did the same thing down there. So, you know, like if Jess wants to, you know, run down and run a couple shows there, she can. Because it's all identical.
Well, that was my other question. Is Jessica just no longer going to have a life here at all?
We're just going to chain her to the wall. And,
I already get told every now and then.
She doesn't look like she eats much.
Well,
so
yeah. You know, that other room over here, you could turn that into a bedroom.
I may or may not have slept on the extra sound tiles in there once or twice. That may or may not have happened. But, yeah.
Oh, that would be an interesting mattress here. Yes, right. Okay, great.
They're very comfy for what it's worth.
You need to get one of those. You need to get one of those bed capsules that I've seen advertised on Facebook all over the place.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Bed capsule.
Well, it's like a tent. You put it over your bed.
Yeah.
And it blocks out all of the light.
Okay.
And, you know, sort of.
Light doesn't bother me. I can sleep anywhere.
Okay.
Well, at this point,
that's what it does. I wanted something that would block out sound. You know, living close to Telegraph Road as I do, and you know,
you've never invited me to your house, so I don't know where you live.
Well,
I
just, we'll have to
somewhere
we'll
down
have to
in Dearborn.
That.
You know,
no.
We still have that old rivalry from the old days. You know, so
right?
He's almost past it, but not quite.
Well, you got to come down for the cruising Telegraph. That's the day.
Cruise
it's fun.
On Telegraph. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, that's the day it's fun to live on Telegraph. It's sort of a lower key version of the Woodward Dream Cruise. You know, you get maybe 10,000 hot cars and not a million, it seems like the Woodward Dream Cruise has.
Dealable.
It's still
more
fun.
Manageable.
Yeah.
Hey, and then you got a big event coming up on Thursday, December 8th.
Yep,
your
this
big
Thursday.
Fundraiser. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so from an IT and the D perspective, I mean, you know, everything we do all year is basically designed to help people find jobs and do that sort of thing. And then maybe 5-6 years ago, we decided our December event was going to be a fundraiser for a charity. And the first couple of years, we dealt with Michigan troops. That were stationed overseas, and those were very successful. I can't even tell you how many hundreds of iPads, iPods, earbuds, all kinds of stuff we sent over to the guys deployed over there. And then not because it was a better or worse situation, we just decided to do something that was hit a little closer to home. And so we partnered up with Operation Kit Equip, which is a group here in Macomb County that deals with, I'm sure you've seen, like, you know, the backpack drives in the summer and that kind of stuff where kids need school supplies and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Well, go figure, those same kids don't necessarily have the best holidays either. Mm-hmm. So the past couple of years, we've dealt with Operation Kit Equip for that, and it's worked out really, really well. I mean, we've collected thousands of dollars, hundreds of toys. You know, nice big shout out to Dennis Barker over at it's now Wonderworld Comics or Quick Stop Comics. It was Wonderworld. And, you know, he showed up last year with an entire van full of, you know, stuff out of his warehouse, you know, matchbox cars and toys and collectibles and uh-huh. that kind of stuff to donate. And he's doing the same thing this year as well. You know, Neil always shows up from Activate, you know, and makes a donation and all that kind of stuff. It's really, really cool. I mean, it's nice to know that you know, yeah, it's good to be all corporate and, you know, jobs and, you know, that kind of thing. But, man, the impact on these kids' faces when they got everything, I was there for it, was just insane. I mean, that's really, really cool.
These are underprivileged kids?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, their organization strictly deals with folks in really rough situations. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this year, cash donations are more important than ever. They've actually bitten off, gotta love them for it, running what they're calling a 29-day house. To basically provide emergency shelter for women and children that, you know, find themselves either in abusive situations or domestic violence, that sort of thing, and either get thrown out of their house or make their way out and, you know, need a place to stay. Mm-hmm. And so they get them in the house, get them set aside and, you know, get them set up and safe, and then work with other grants, other organizations, as well as themselves to get them moved into permanent housing of some sort within 29 days. Hmm.
Then you also do these quarterly pink slip parties?
Used to be. We dropped them down to twice a year a few years back, mostly because four a month was just insane.
Yeah.
Four a year was just insane. It was too much.
Big effort, right?
Yeah. So March and September is when we do them now. Mm-hmm. We do our monthly events, you know, our casual networking events and the pink slip parties. It still makes me laugh that those have become what they are. Just because, I mean, from our perspective, there's really no difference. It's, you know, people show up at the big events to network and hang out. People find jobs at the smaller events to hang out, and, you know, and whatever. But the media tends to latch on to the cutesy pink slip party name that we gave them.
I think one of the differences, you have sponsors and tables at the big parties.
Right? Well, yeah. I mean, that was kind of a – yeah. I mean, the whole pink slip party thing was a self-defense mechanism, really. So back in
– When was the first one?
May of 09.
Okay.
It was March of 09 when we noticed that
– the economy was still sucking.
When it started to suck.
But so word got out that my network of geeks was there. Mm-hmm. And so recruiters started showing up looking to hire. And then word got out that recruiters were looking to hire. People started showing up looking for jobs.
Right. Yeah.
So in like March of 09, we noticed that more than half the people that were there at our networking event weren't there to network. They were there to find a job. Hmm. So I still remember sitting at the Blackfin at the bar with Bob after the event and just saying, you know, we got to do something to try to rein this in. How do we do this? You know, there's this pink slip party concept that, you know, a friend of a friend down in Miami is trying. Let's give that a shot.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a jobs-based event, and then our networking events can just go back to being networking events, and it'll be great.
And you rotate those around to different locations. The
smaller events, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the smaller events, yeah. The big events, we have no choice but to have them at the Majestic now.
Mm-hmm.
We did
1,000 people or so.
Yeah, I mean, we hit every venue around I think the last one we hit before we went downtown was the Post Bar in Novi. And that had a capacity of 900 and change, and we filled that. And then we went to St. Andrew's Hall for 31313 in 2013. And we were there for three or four events, and they got big enough that they wanted us to start splitting the crowd and take over the shelter too.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really want to split the crowd, so we went to the Majestic. And that's where we've been for the last four of those.
Hey, when the new Red Wings facilities opens up, maybe you can get in there, right?
Right. Yeah. God help us if we ever need anything that big. But they're great. I mean, it's good casual networking, you know, what we hear from. It's been fun watching the economy turn. You know, to your point, you know, in May of 09, you know, we did that first pink slip party because job seekers were saying, we can't get anybody to return our emails, our phone calls. We need FaceTime with recruiters desperately. And that's why, you know, so that first one, you know, we had about 350 people showed up. There were 42 recruiters that Bob and I were able to, you know, arm twist, blackmail, coerce into coming. And some of them stayed there till like 11 o'clock that night, you know, talking with people to make sure people had, you know, someone to talk to, which was great. You know, these days, you know, we're at the Majestic. We get over 1,000 people. We get 100 to 150 recruiters that show up. And it was like late 2012 when we started seeing the shift where it wasn't job seekers that were banging down our door. It was recruiters.
Yeah.
And now it's very much that way where the market is so tight for talent.
Particularly if you're cybersecurity.
That's ridiculous.
That area,
also coding too, right? I mean, software developers.
There's boot camps all over the place, you know, at this point trying to ramp up for, you know, the need for developers and coding. And in fact, we just over the weekend modified our meet tab. M-E-E-T on itandthedia.com has always just been our events and our, mm-hmm. and our kind of things. And we decided, you know what, let's tweak that a little bit. So we added the events from Girl Develop It, from Grand Circus, and from Iron Yard into those into our meet tab. So if you go to, you know, itandthedia.com/meet, you'll see not just our events, but you'll see all those other coding boot camps and workshops and that kind of stuff in there as well.
I think Amanda might be getting into some of that stuff with the new and expanded Bamboo Detroit.
Yep.
She's talking about it, but I haven't got an official announcement on it yet.
Yep, yep. We've been chatting with her about some of that stuff too. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's been interesting watching that shift and seeing how hard recruiters are looking for people now. I mean, it's, you know, the running shtick basically is if you're in IT and you're not employed, there might be something wrong with you.
Yes.
You know, unless it's what you want. You know, if you're looking for some downtime,
full employment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of places out there that are just dying for talent.
If we could just find a school in the central Detroit area that had a lot of IT talent they're training.
Yeah. Ring that bell.
I'm setting you up there, Matt. There you go.
Ah, yes.
Run with that.
Lawrence Tech Engineering and Computer Science School. Yeah. That's kind of what we do. So, and I can tell you that our computer science graduates, you know, have multiple job offers before they graduate.
And I don't doubt it.
It's obscene because some of them are six figures coming out of school.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a little crazy.
And it's almost that way with engineers. Not quite. It just depends on what kind of engineering you're going into.
All
but
right.
But there are some kinds that are hotter than others. And
can you
and
imagine
it's the same
at 22
way with
years old
too.
Making that kind of cheese?
Yeah, actually. And that's – well, so, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's some talk and there's some fear that we're hitting – you know, are we hitting another tech bubble already?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got all these hyper-inflated over, you know, overvaluated apps and that kind of stuff that are going on. And you've started to see it with a lot of the, you know, angel investors and that sort of stuff have
backing
started
pulling
back a little bit. And you're getting back to the days like, you know, 1999, where if you knew that Java wasn't something that you got at Starbucks, you got an $80,000 a year job, a $20,000 signing bonus.
And you could get $3 million worth of venture capital just by signing your name.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, so, I mean, that's the big concern in the area now that a lot of people are starting to talk about. Just because, I mean, there is such a healthy, thriving startup community here in the area that, you know, and part of that is because it's, you know, there have been funds available and there have been, you know, venture capital available and there's been people willing to work on stuff that, you know, hoping that doesn't happen just yet.
We have a little over 2 minutes left. If folks want to get plugged into all these various things that you're doing.
I don't think you ever said where the party is on the 8th.
Yeah. Oh, duh. Falling Down Beer Company.
Okay.
They're attending to Quinder and Warren.
Same as last year then. Huh?
Yep. We try to keep it consistent. Mark, great guy. For those who don't know, they're two IT guys.
Great beer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mark and George, they're the guys that took the buyouts from the automotive company. Companies and said, you know what, we're done with IT. Let's open a brewery. So they're basically living our dream, and we love and hate them for that. it's a great location. They're actually opening up at Mark's on our show tonight at 9. They're opening up another location up in Oxford. So obviously things have been going well. That's going to be enormous, and it's going to be a brewery and a distillery.
Wow.
Rah-rah. We're really, really happy for those
another
guys.
Another reason to visit my cousins in Oxford. How about
there you go.
That's a wonderful
thing. It's a pull for me, though. It's like 100 miles or so.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, all our stuff is, you know, our IT and the D stuff is out at itandthed.com. And then everything Podcast Detroit is at podcastdetroit.com. We've got our app that's out for Android and iOS where you can hit. It's got 5 channels in it, all 3 studios, as well as our live remote stream. Like Thursday night, we'll be live. We'll have the remote gear out and people will be broadcasting live from there. And then a local music channel. So folks like, you know, Rocky Vellucci, you know, who's in here with, you know, the Nooner Show and her mom, you know, have sent us in music.
The Nooner Show.
Oh, yeah, they're great. And, you know, it's all local music 24/7.
I think it's something else.
Well, especially since it's a mother and daughter, right?
Yeah, you know? Well, you know, that's what you're into.
One of the oldest tropes out there.
Right. But, yeah, so that's us in a nutshell.
All right. Well, thank you very much, David. It's always great to talk to you. And I just want to personally thank you for the opportunity to do this here. And you and Mike, this is just great fun. And I think
get you out of that office once in a while.
And I think we're doing something kind of important here. You know, we're letting people know what's going on with technology and having a little bit of fun doing it. So
great
idea. I'm glad this all blew up in your face.
So. And for those that want it, there'll be a Jessica Cam coming really soon. So just be patient.
No, there won't.
We'll launch a change.org petition and get that going.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Recounter Jessica Cam.
So, unfortunately, we're out of time.
Yes, we are. But we want to thank our guests, Lisa Valley Smith, Chris Dirks from AT&T, and, of course, Podcast Detroit co-founder David Phillips. Until next week, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.